you can take along with you. And Father, again, we just want to look to you, give you our attention, our focus, and say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, help us to do as the scripture says, to receive your word with meekness. Let it be engrafted into our hearts, Lord, into our spirit. Your word is able to save our souls, Lord, not just from separation and hell. You can save us even now, Lord, by the power of your spirit working through your word. And we all have areas of need. So, Lord, work it in us, we pray. And then help us to be doers to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever felt like God was far away? You ever felt like God was just, you know, if some, you know how some people say the phrase, man, I feel like he's a million miles away right now. As some of you can relate to that. Maybe some of you, and I don't mean this as a put down. In fact, could we just ask, if you're willing to admit today, would you be willing to admit that I've had that thought before. I've kind of felt like God was far away. Would any of you raise your hands and say, okay, thank you. You can look around and see. And maybe some of us have even thought, well, God's not very relevant to my everyday life. I mean, he's up there in heaven. And I got my own life. I got a job. I got work, family. I got stuff on my nerves. I got troubles. I got headaches. I got issues. I got hang-ups. And maybe you think God's not very relevant to our lives. And thank God for human emotions. And we have the range of emotions we can experience. But our fluctuating feelings can lead us astray if we allow them. And thank God for human intellect and human reason. But our limited understanding can misguide us. That's one reason it's so important to not only know truth, it's important to believe truth, because what we genuinely believe determines how we live. What we genuinely believe determines how we live. And the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then when he was praying to his Father, he said, your word is truth. So we have really two sources of truth that are in absolute harmony and agreement, the Son and the Scripture. So Romans chapter 10, let's see what the Scripture says to guide us into truth so that, yes, we experience our emotions. Yes, I have my thoughts, but let's see what truth says. Romans chapter 10 and verse 5 says this, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, well, who will ascend into heaven? That is, bring Christ or Messiah down. The reason we don't have to bring the Messiah down is because the Messiah has already come. And when we could not get to him because of our sin, God came to us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And he lived a sinless, perfect life and willingly laid his life down on the cross and took the punishment that we deserved. He bore the judgment for our sins when Jesus hung on that cross, suffering for 6 hours. And when he died and dismissed his spirit, the price was paid in full. We don't have to bring him down. He's already come. Then he goes on in the next verse, and he says in verse 7, or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Messiah, bring the anointed one up from the dead. We don't have to bring him up from the dead, because 3 days later, he arose from the grave. And he was here on this earth for 40 days, teaching the things of the kingdom of God. And then he ascended to heaven, but he sent his Holy Spirit in his place so that he could tell his disciples, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So even though he's physically in his body seated on his throne beside his Father in heaven, his spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, is here today with us. And then verse 8, but what does it say? In other words, what does the righteousness, which is of the law of the of faith, say? Because Christ did for us what the law could not do. The law could not make us right with God. It could not bring us into righteousness. Jesus did. So he says in verse 8, but what does it say? The word is where? It's near you. the word is near you. But I feel like God's, but the word, you might feel it, you might think it, but the word is near you. The word is near you. Let's keep going. The word is near you. Notice where it is, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Salvation, Jesus came. The word is near you. For those streaming, those listening, the word is near you. The word is near you. Salvation is available for everyone this morning. The word is near you. Doesn't matter what you think, feel, what you've done, the word is near you. Salvation is available, but salvation is not automatic. All roads do not lead to heaven. All roads do not lead to God. Notice what it says in verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that means he's your Lord, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that not only he died, but that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. In other words, when we believe in our heart on Jesus as Lord, we are made right with God. God forgives us of all sin. We are cleansed from all sin. We are brought into a right state with God, and his Holy Spirit indwells us. He says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You don't need to give me an answer, but one day we will all answer the question, because we answer it in our lives even right now. Everyone here, everyone listening or watching, are you saved? Is Jesus your King, your Lord, your Shepherd, and your Savior? And if not, the word is near you. He can be, and he wants to be. In fact, the message this morning is just, I just made it personal. I like to make it personal for me. I invite you to do the same. Instead of just saying the word is near you, would you say the word is near me? We'll make it personal. The word is near me. The word is near me. In other words, because Jesus sent his Spirit, he is near me. He's with me if we know him. The word is near me. Jesus, the Son, is near me, but Scripture is near me. The Word of God is available to us. So the Word is near me. Jesus is near you. The Word is near you. I was reading one account of Palm Sunday. If you want to write this reference down, it's found in Luke chapter 19. It's just two verses, Luke 19, 41 and 42. I was reading a New Living Translation, and it says like this, because Jesus, you know, he's coming into Jerusalem on the donkey there on Palm Sunday. And this is what it says in that verse 41. But as Jesus came closer to Jerusalem and he saw the city ahead, he began to weep. That was not a tear coming down his cheek. It is the same Greek word in Luke chapter 22, verse 62, after Peter had denied even knowing Jesus three times and put a curse on himself, saying he didn't know him. And the Bible says Jesus turned and looked at him. And it says Peter went away and he wept bitterly. Jesus is riding into the city of Jerusalem and he sees it and he begins to weep bitterly. He's sobbing. And verse 42 explains why. He says, how I wish today that you, of all people, would understand the way to peace. But now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Jesus wept over those who did not recognize him as the way of peace. And his heart was broken, and he was weeping bitterly. Brothers and sisters, the word was near them, but they did not believe him. And as a result, they robbed themselves. The word is near us, but we can rob ourselves, even as Christians, we can rob ourselves of the fullness of God's blessings and his grace by maybe unbelief in an area or disobedience in an area. So we can rob ourselves again. What we know and genuinely believe determines how we live. so we can rob ourselves. I'm saying this morning, let's not rob ourselves. The word is near you. The word is near you. Would you say this? Would you say the word is near me? So that means even when we don't feel like it, even when maybe we don't think it is and circumstances look so different, the word is near. Jesus is near you. He's with you. The word is near you when you're happy. The word is near you when you, I don't know, could I say get your stimulus? You're happy. You're prospering. You're bread. Praise the Lord. And you're rejoicing. You got a raise. You experience favor. The word is near you. The word is near you. The word is near you when you're celebrating. Word is near you when you're happy. But the word is near you with grace to help when you're hurting. The word is near you. My heart is grieved, I think, from when I think about the as believers that we could rob ourselves, that Jesus, and I'm not saying he does this at all, but it's almost like we're going through the hard time and we're going through the trial and we've experienced loss and we're confused and we're hurting and we're discouraged and we're down and we think no one understands and we're all alone. I just almost picture Jesus like, he doesn't do that, all right? I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to bring him down to this our level, but I almost picture him like, I'm here. Why don't you take advantage of me? You're putting me in unemployment. I'm ready. I have grace to help. He's working in us. The word is near me. Wouldn't it be something if we would just remind ourselves, I'm going through this hard time. I'm hurting. I'm confused. I'm tempted. I'm overwhelmed. The word is near me. The word is near me when I need direction. The word is near me when I need peace. The word is near me when I'm fighting anxiety and every kind of fear imaginable. Thinking, I received a call about a young person who'd been praying for, you know, battling some anxiety and, you know, hearing things and, you know, went into the hospital this week. I'm lifting that young person up to the Lord every day and their family because I know the word is near them. And there may be, you know, physical conditions to address and all of those, God bless the doctors with wisdom, but there is a spiritual side that we can do too by looking to the Lord. The word is near me. I'm saying let's do our part. The word is near me. Let's take advantage. I remember Pastor David Wilkerson saying that sometimes we can put the Holy Spirit in the unemployment line of our lives. The word is near me. So let's believe him. If he's available, just between you and the Lord now, okay? What are you doing with him? You're in that hard time? You're in that time of need? You're not sure what's going on? You're battling? You're hurting? What are you doing with him? I'm not saying it to be harsh. I'm saying it to draw you to him. Brothers and sisters, the word is near. Scripture is available to us. Scripture is available. Whether you read it or not, pull it up on your phone. If a child is not even of age yet to read, you can get a Bible app on your phone and listen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word is available. The word is able to build us up in the faith. The word is able to give us direction. The word is able to comfort us when we're hurting. The word is able to guide us like a light in the darkness. What are you doing with it? The word is near me. Can I give you just two steps, if you want to write them down today, of just application that I believe we can live this out? The word is near me. Before I give you this, in fact, would you turn to chapter 14 of Romans? Romans chapter 14. Don't you wish somebody could exercise for you and you receive the benefit? How many of you would like to give? Would you like somebody to eat that healthy food and you get all the vitamins, minerals, nutrition, and you keep eating your whatever? It doesn't work like that, though, does it? And in the same way, the reality is no one can have a relationship with God for you. And though I can pray for you and others can as well, no one can grow for you. And no one can grow for me. One day we will all give account of ourselves, of our choices, of our actions to God. As the scripture says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, The Bible says, Romans 14:12, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. I know, I know it from Scripture. I believe I've experienced in my life, maybe I'm sure many of you have. God will orchestrate events to draw us to himself. God will orchestrate events in his sovereignty to draw us to himself. And not everything that we call bad that happens in life is the devil. God will orchestrate events to not only draw us to himself, but to draw us into his will and to help us grow. I'm not saying he will grow for us. I'm saying he can use circumstances to get us to that place to give us opportunity to look to him and grow. The word is near me. The word is near me. I know that scripture there in Romans is speaking about salvation, the gospel going forth. I don't believe for a second I wouldn't be saying this today, because I have to give an account of what I'm speaking right now before God one day. I'm not taking this lightly, but I don't believe I'm misapplying scripture at all to say that even for us as followers of Jesus, as Christians, there is an application for us of the word is near me. And we can live it out in our daily lives too. Not just near me to bring me to salvation, the word is near me in every day of everything I face in this life. Jesus is with me. I have scripture available. Let's store it up in our heart. Two steps right here. It's truth to live by. Number one, I'll read it to you from Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and just two verses, 16 and 17. If you want to write it down, they'll be on the screen. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ, notice, dwell in you. Dwell in you. How? Richly. And all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The word is near me. First application, dwell on the word. Dwell on the word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Dwell in you. Let it dwell in you. Store it up in your heart. I shared a message recently. I treasure your word in my heart. That's what that Hebrew word means. It means to treasure or to store up. It's even translated that way. I treasure your word. I store up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. But I love, remember what the scripture said in Romans? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. And that fits right in with this scripture here. It says, let it dwell in you richly, not just in silence, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So the word, one way we can have the word dwell in us richly is by giving God thanks and by singing his praise and singing those worship choruses and singing those hymns and just getting them in your heart and getting them in your mind. And it's not just wasted time. It's not just a song service to get to the real part of the service. No, it's worship. It brings us into the presence of God. And you don't have to wait till Sunday morning. The word is near you. And get it in your heart. Now, I'm all for I like certain tunes. I like a variety of genres of music. And that's fine. But when we're here together, I want to sing songs that will get the word in us so that we can hear it. And I remember I was looking at Lori on the front row. Her mom told me one day, it's from years ago, she said, I know what you're up to. I like that. And I was like, you know, I looked at her like, what do you mean? And she said, you pick songs to go with the message. And she had noticed that. I said, that's right, because I'm trying to get people to sing it. And you know, worship and thanksgiving, praise, getting that scripture in our hearts and minds. I'm still amazed sometimes. I catch myself being out in public, and I hear a song that I don't know if I've heard in 30 years, and I pick right up just like that and sing it. And then there is one song, I'm not even going to repeat it because I don't want you singing it, but it's a newer song. And I heard it at the gym, and that phrases like got in my head. And I was like, I got to listen to something else, man. I'm catching myself singing this over and over and over. It's the power of a song that can just work its way into us. Let's take advantage of it and use it to the Lord and give him praise and fill our hearts with worship and thanksgiving and draw on him. That's one way the word of Christ dwells in us richly. The word is near me. I got to dwell on it. So we have to make that choice. And before I give you this second, I'm just going to keep it real. Let's make no mistake. We will have thoughts that are not God's thoughts. It's part of our human experience. Like it or not, we're going to have some thoughts that we're going to have to battle. But by God's grace, we have mighty weapons to bring every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. And we can cast those thoughts down and replace them by the grace of God. We do not have to entertain them. We can dwell on God's word. But we have to use not only our mind, we have to use our mouth. Jesus gave us that example. I don't know if we can even possibly do it. I don't think we could do it for long, to have one thought go in one direction and say something else in a different direction. They come together. So we use our mouth to help focus our mind. And words, maybe some of you can relate to what I'm getting ready to say, words will come to mind that we wish weren't in our minds. Words can come to mind that we've heard or we've maybe even said in the past, and we really don't want them in our minds, but they can come up. But by the grace of God, we can speak God's words. We can speak his words. Yeah, we may think it, but we don't have to speak it. And we will experience emotions. Thank God for the emotions we experience. But we can experience some emotions that would lead us into sin. Emotions are real, but they are not always right. And just because we feel it doesn't mean we have to do it. So we can experience the emotion, and we can still do what God says, regardless and in spite of the emotions, by the grace of God, because we have the power to choose. And if we did not, then would God hold us accountable for our choices and our actions? So yes, you don't understand these thoughts. I may not, but God does. But then what am I going to do? Yes, I'm feeling this emotion. I'm hearing these voices. I think these thoughts. Sometimes I want to speak these words, but we can make a choice to dwell on God's word, think about it, revolve it in our mind, and speak it out of our mouths. Sing it, pray it, build it up into our heart. We do have the power to choose. And again, it's not easy. The easy way is just to kind of coast and do whatever. It's not easy. But the word is near me. The word is near me. It's planting and watering and planting and watering and day in and day out when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it and when you're up and when you're down and when you're happy and you're sad or whatever it is, we're planting and watering and God gives the increase, but we've got to stick with it. Perseverance pays off in due season, as the scripture says, and we will reap. Verse 17, Colossians 3:17. One of the reasons we do this is because whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of. That means you are representative. If we are Christians, we represent our Lord Jesus. So do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Would you turn to someone next to you or like some ways away from you, wherever you are, and just tell them, stick with it. It'll pay off. The word is near you. The word is near me. Would you say it? The word is near me. Would you say, dwell on the word? Dwell on the word. And then the second one, do the word. So the word is near me. Dwell on the word, do the word. Dwell on the word, do the word. James chapter 1. I read these few verses to you, and then we'll prepare for communion. Dwell on the word, do the word. The reason we dwell on it, this is how it's in the scripture, is because it helps us remember to do it and to live it out. So we dwell on the word, we speak the word so that we can do the word. When we're dwelling on the word and we're getting it in, like right now, you're getting it in your heart, I hope. You're at least getting it in your ears. But how you receive it and what you do with it is up to you, but you're hearing it. So you have the potential. It's potentially feeding your faith in God right now. And when the opportunity comes to apply it, you exercise your faith in God, and that's how we grow stronger and we grow in Christ's likeness. And that's God's will for every single one of us. It's how we grow, and it's how we experience God's greatest blessings. It's not just about getting him to bless me. It's about being close to my heavenly Father. The greatest blessing is just living in close fellowship with him. And all of the other things are just the fruit of abiding in him. James chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says this, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man or a person observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself and goes away and forgot what he looked like." Verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty," the law liberates us. If it's God's, you know what I'm saying? The law of liberty, not the law that we couldn't live up to, the law of liberty. And we continue in it and is not a forgetful hearer. I'm glad I heard it 50 years ago, but I need it right now. The food I ate 50 years ago isn't benefiting me a whole lot right now. So I need to keep feeding my faith. I need to keep feeding it and exercising to stay close to the Lord. Is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. This one will be blessed in what he does. The word is near me. The word is near me in my mouth and in my heart. I believe we all know that our thoughts and our words can either help us or hurt us. Our thoughts and our words can either help us or hurt us. Let me read you these verses, two verses from Philippians 4, and we're close. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, if you want to write them down, they're on the screen. This is how it words it in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true," and I'll mention those virtues, "honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is any praise," notice, would you say it with me? "Dwell on these things." Dwell on the word. Next verse, first word, do. Dwell on the word, do the word. Dwell on the word, do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. God designed us so remarkably. He's such an awesome designer. And do you know that science now confirms that when we have a thought, something physical actually takes place in our brains that can be observed. It actually creates space, like material, something physical in our minds. There are little connections that form. And the more we think something and say it and do it, the stronger those little connections come, the stronger those pathways are. So we think it and we say it and we do it and they get stronger. And we think it and we say it and do it and they get stronger. And we think it and say it and do it and they get stronger. And that can be used in a good or bad way. But if we've had the bad, thank God he designed us with the potential to renew our minds. And I may have been planting bad seeds for however many years, but today I can start planting and watering good seeds. I can think it and I can say it and I can do it. By the grace of God, I can think it, say it, and do it. And we can renew our minds because the word is near me. For some reason, I pictured this morning. I asked the Lord to, I want to be like, come alongside you here. And I remembered when I first learned how to ride a bike. I was down at 3½ Street Playground. I have an older cousin down there. Maybe I thought about it because last Sunday afternoon, one of the men in the church here, we went out for a walk up at the high school track. We walked around, and the guy's out there throwing ball and doing things. And I saw this. Maybe it was a father and a little, I think it was a little girl on a bicycle, you know, had her little helmet on. And there's like a strip there of pavement, you know, like the soft pavement there toward the end of the field. And he was, you know, she was cruising along on her little bike. And I remember when I learned how to ride a bike, my older cousin out on 3½ Street Playground one day, I was sitting on the bike. This is all I remember. He shoved me. And I remembered, I can remember, I don't know what I looked like because I couldn't see myself, but I felt my eyes get really big. And I didn't even budge. I just held onto the handlebars. I didn't move my feet. And he shoved me. And they just gave me that momentum. And I was like, but eventually I learned, move. And I started moving my feet. And now here I am, like, you know, just a couple years later. And I can hop on a bike. And you remember, you've heard the phrase, it's just like riding a bike. It becomes second nature. But it wasn't easy at first, but I can do it now because I've done it over the years. And it's the same thing. So I want to kind of come along to encourage you today. The word is near you. Dwell on it and do it. I'm giving you, I'm not trying to shove you, but I'm trying to nudge you in that right direction. Now you got to pedal. Now you've got to live it out. Now you've got to keep it going. You have to be the one, as I do, to say the word is near me. I've got to dwell on it. I've got to speak it. I've got to do it. And I'm going to fall at times, but I'm not going to give up. By the grace of God, I'm going to keep pedaling, and I'm going to keep planting and keep watering. And ultimately, it'll all be for the glory of God. The word is near me. Well, there you are. Now let's be doers of the word, all right? Let's stand together as we close in prayer.